You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Friday, March 20th, 2026. Stuck in, Gulf, you can't get out of. Iran war traps propane and refined products in Persian Gulf. Published by Housley Carr. A lot of attention has been paid to the massive volumes of crude oil and LNG currently trapped in the Persian Gulf, and for good reason. The region is a critically important global supplier. What's sometimes overlooked by the media, however, is that Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, or UAE, are also major exporters of refined products, and that they and Qatar also send out copious amounts of LPG. In today's RBN blog, we consider the impact of Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz on LPG and refined product exports from the Persian Gulf's key producers. The U.S. clearly has the upper hand over Iran from a military power perspective, but, so far, at least, Iran has countered that by severely limiting safe passage for crude oil supertankers, LNG carriers, and refined products and LPG vessels through the number one maritime energy choke point in the world, the Strait of Hormuz between Iran and Oman. Since the U.S. and Israel made their initial strikes on Iran on February 28, only a few dozen commercial vessels have safely traversed the narrow waterway, compared to a pre-war pace of more than 100 per day. Most recently, as part of an effort to keep global energy prices from soaring to new heights, the U.S. has been allowing ships carrying Iranian crude oil and LPG to pass through, but Iran has maintained its hard line against transits by ships out of neighboring countries. Understandably, markets and the media have focused primarily on the impact on crude oil and LNG. After all, the Persian Gulf countries, including Iran and Iraq, account for about one-sixth of global oil production and 20% of seaborne oil trade, and Qatar is the world's second-largest exporter of LNG, behind only the U.S. and Israel. It is important to remember, though, that the region also is home to several major refineries and NGL fractionation centers, and that Persian Gulf countries export large volumes of LPG and refined products like gasoline, diesel, and naphtha. We will start with NGLs. We should note up front that virtually all the ethane that emerges from wells in the Persian Gulf region is either rejected into natural gas and sold for its BTU's value or separated at fractionators and consumed domestically at petrochemical plants. In contrast, much of the LPG, propane and butanes, and natural gasoline pentanes plus that is separated at fractionators is exported. Before the near-total closure of the Strait of Hormuz, Persian Gulf countries had been sending out about 1.7 million barrels per day of NGL purity products, including about 1.5 million barrels per day of LPG and 200,000 barrels per day of isobutane, natural gasoline, and pentanes plus. More on export volumes and their destinations later. The colored fractionator icons show the non-Iranian NGL fractionation centers on or near the Persian Gulf, and thereby affected by the Strait of Hormuz closure, which have a combined capacity of more than 2.7 million barrels per day. About two-thirds of that capacity, 1.9 thousand barrels per day, is in eastern Saudi Arabia, with most of that at Saudi Aramco's Juwayma and Ras Tanura industrial centers, 1.1 million barrels per day and 500,000 barrels per day, respectively, both of which have export docks capable of loading very large gas carriers, or VLGCs, the workhorse of LPG waterborne transportation. The other 300,000 barrels per day of eastern Saudi fractionation capacity is at Aramco's Wasit site, whose LPG and natural gasoline are piped to Juwayma for export. An Iranian drone attack on March 2 reportedly caused fires but only minimal damage at Ras Tanura. It is not a factor yet, but Aramco also is building the two-train, 510,000 barrels per day Riyas fractionation center at the Jubail industrial complex that is slated to come online in 2028. In addition, the company owns a 585,000 barrels per day fractionation LPG export complex at Yanbu on the Red Sea, green icon to center left, that receives mixed NGLs, aka Y-grade, via Aramco's east-west pipeline system, which also moves crude oil. Next up is Qatar, which has about 400,000 barrels per day of fractionation capacity at Qatar Energy's Mayseed fractionation hub on the country's south coast, and less than 100,000 barrels per day at the company's LNG export-focused Ras Laffan site on Qatar's north coast. LPG and natural gasoline separated at Mayseed is piped to Ras Laffan for export from its several NGL docks. A gas-to-liquids plant and other facilities at Ras Laffan, the world's largest LNG export facility, which declared force majeure and suspended production on March 2, were severely damaged by Iranian missile attacks on March 18 to 19. Kuwait, in turn, has about 250,000 barrels per day of fractionation capacity at Kuwait National Petroleum Company, or KNPC, Mina Alamati site, which has its own docks. Mina Alamati has been the target of recent Iranian drone attacks, the latest on March 20, and in the UAE, Abu Dhabi National Oil Company owns the four-train, 100,000 barrels per day Ruwais fractionation center, which has two marine docks for LPG exports. A fifth train, capacity 25,000 barrels per day, is under construction there and slated to start up in 2027. Iranian drones have targeted gas processing facilities in Abu Dhabi. According to the International Energy Agency, or IEA, Caplor and other sources, about 1.5 million barrels per day of LPG was exported out of the Persian Gulf countries, on average, in 2025. The vast majority of those volumes ended up in Asia, mostly in India, more than 600,000 barrels per day, and China, more than 500,000 barrels per day, with smaller amounts sent to other countries in Asia, including Japan, Singapore and South Korea, East Africa and Europe. India uses most of the LPG it imports for cooking and heating, while China uses it primarily as a petrochemical feedstock. The LPG supply situation in India is particularly dire in that, 1. The country imports two-thirds of the 1.1 million barrels per day it needs, 290% of its LPG imports had been coming from the Persian Gulf and, 3. India traditionally has maintained only modest stockpiles of LPG, equal to between 1 and 3 weeks of national consumption. Instead, it is dependent on a steady stream of LPG-laden VLGCs from the Gulf, a stream that is now slowed to a trickle, if that. The Indian government has been taking several emergency measures, such as directing refineries in the country to maximize their production of LPG, urging commercial and industrial LPG users to switch to other fuels, if possible, cracking down on LPG hoarding, and scrambling to find alternative sources of LPG supply. India has been entering into contracts to buy more LPG from suppliers in the US, already the largest LNG exporter to India after the Persian Gulf states, as well as Russia, Canada, and Norway. Note that it takes at least 5 to 6 weeks for LPG to be shipped from the US to India, and besides, US LPG export capacity along the Gulf Coast is pretty much maxed out anyway. According to RBN's NGL Voyager report, LPG export volumes from the Persian Gulf already had been set back just prior to the US and Israeli strikes on Iran. Our report indicated that Saudi Aramco cancelled scheduled March loading LPG term cargoes following the February 23 collapse of propane and butane pipelines at its Juwaymah NGL facility, which historically exported around 170,000 barrels per day of LPG. As a result, Far East Index, FEI, propane prices jumped by around $5 per metric ton after the news. That was nothing compared to the price impact after the strikes. Through the first week of March, FEI propane increased by about $168 per metric ton to $761 per metric ton, the highest since February 2023. In light of developments surrounding Iran, U.S. LPG exports are likely to increase in the months ahead, taking advantage of high LPG prices abroad caused by cargo cancellations by Persian Gulf exporters. The ability of U.S. volumes to fill this gap in the international market is limited by domestic LPG export capacity, however. Spot terminal rates for April loadings out of U.S. Gulf Coast terminals have increased substantially. Asia already is by far the leading destination for LPG exported from the U.S., accounting for about 1.2 million barrels per day of the 2.1 million barrels per day sent out in February, and similar volumes so far in March, and as much as 1.4 million barrels per day a few months ago. China is typically the number one recipient of U.S.-sourced LPG, but India has become a regular customer over the past 12 months, and may well become a much more active buyer now. The US in recent days has taken several steps aimed at restoring safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz for VLGCs, refined product tankers and other commercial vessels. Among other things, it has launched a $20 billion reinsurance program to cover war risks, urged US allies and others that depend on crude oil, refined products and NGLs from the region to send warships and minesweepers to help reopen the maritime choke point, and begun making plans to have the U.S. military start escorting ships through the waterway. Still, it could take several weeks, or longer, for the situation to return to normal. In an upcoming blog, we will discuss the impact of the near-total closure of the Strait of Hormuz on Persian Gulf exports of refined products. On Stuck in a Moment You Can't Get Out Of, U2 wrote the music. The lyrics were written by Bono and The Edge. It appears as the second song on U2's 10th studio album, All That You Can't Leave Behind. Bono wrote the lyrics about the 1997 suicide of his friend Michael Hutchence, who was the lead singer for the band NXS. Three different videos were made for the song. The single was released in January 2011 and went to number 1 on the Billboard Adult Alternative Airplay chart and number 52 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Personnel on the record were Bono, lead vocals, synthesizers, The Edge, guitar, piano, backing vocals, Adam Clayton bass, Larry Mullen Jr., drums, Brian Eno, synthesizers, Daniel Lanois, guitar, and Paul Barrett, brass. All That You Can't Leave Behind was recorded in 2000 at HQ, Windmill Lane, Westland, and Totally Wired in Dublin, and Riviera Studios in the south of France. Produced by Daniel Lanois and Brian Eno, the album was released in October 2000 and went to number 3 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. It has been certified 4X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Four singles were released from the LP. U2 is an Irish rock band formed in Dublin in 1976 by singer Bono, guitarist The Edge, bassist Adam Clayton, and drummer Larry Mullen Jr. They met while attending school at Mount Temple Comprehensive School in Dublin. They played their first gig in Dublin in April 1977 and signed with CBS Ireland in August 1979. U2 has released 15 studio albums, 2 live albums, 3 compilation albums, 9 EPs, and 85 singles and sold more than 175 million records worldwide. The band has won an American Music Award, 10 Billboard Music Awards, 8 Brit Awards, 2 Golden Globe Awards, 20 Grammy Awards, 4 Ivor Novello Awards, and 6 MTV Video Music Awards, and are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have received Kennedy Center honors. They continue to record and tour, and release their latest EP, Days of Ash, in February.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.